There's a lot of phrases, lines that we've heard so many times that they just don't hit quite like they used to, even though they are really, really, really profound and in a lot of ways perfect structure of the right letters and the right words put together. It's like, woof, that is a meaningful sentence or a powerful statement. But we hear it over and over and over again, kind of like be the change you want to see in the world. That's really profound, but it just doesn't hit kind of like it used to. Another one of those lines that we hear often, but just barely register anymore, is that you are made in the image of God. And I think that that really sounds comforting. It sounds affirming. Kind of sounds like a spiritual participation trophy, but that's not what it is. Being made in the image of God was never meant to excuse you. It was meant to entrust you. Genesis doesn't say that you were made finished. It says that you were made capable. Capable of choice, capable of creation, capable of responsibility, and capable of becoming. So from a biblical perspective, Imago Dei isn't a compliment, it's a calling. You weren't crowned king of the universe. You were handed the keys and told, take care of this. And that includes yourself. Psychology backs this up without using any religious language. I like to talk about Maslow a lot, which you know, he says that what a man can be, he must be. And that's not what a man can be, he might consider becoming it someday. No, it's what a man can be, he must be. Not morally, but existentially. So that means when you ignore your God-given potential, something inside of you doesn't quietly let it go. It protests, like the real kind of protests. And that protest has names. We call it anxiety, restlessness, guilt, dissatisfaction. It's that vague sense that you're wasting something precious. And here's the crucial point. You don't feel guilty because you're broken. You feel restless because you know you're capable of more. Modern culture caused this toxic pressure or unrealistic expectations. Older wisdom calls it conscience. Now, I want to be honest and have a little bit of fun at the same time. God made you in his image, and then you remade yourself in yours. And somewhere between divine potential and Tuesday night, you threw in a couch, a credit card, some DoorDash, and a bunch of subscriptions that you forgot that you were using and you forgot to cancel. God gave you agency, and you gave yourself convenience. God gave you stewardship. You gave yourself comfort. And now, surprisingly, you're tired, distracted, anxious, broke, vaguely annoyed at pretty much everything. And it's not because life is uniquely unfair. It's because comfort makes for a terrible planner, a terrible architect. So it's not condemnation. What I'm talking about is making a diagnosis. Philosophers have been warning about this for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Aristotle told us that every human has telos, a direction that they're meant to grow towards. Virtue isn't moral perfection, it's alignment with that direction I was just talking about. Nietzsche said the real danger isn't suffering, it's shrinking. So living beneath your capacity, calling it acceptance, and wondering why your life feels flat, that's what I'm driving at. So, the tragedy isn't failure. The tragedy is building a life that asks nothing of you and then resenting that life for giving you nothing back. Shocking. Here's the good news, because there's plenty of good news. If you built this version of yourself, you can rebuild. No, you don't need to do that by reinventing your entire life, by moving into the woods or waking up at 4 a.m. every morning to doing cold plunges and all that stuff. You can do it by doing a lot less, understanding what really matters, what really is important, what must be done in service of that, and then doing it. It's not doing more, it's doing less, but doing less better. So stop asking, what else should I be adding in? And start asking, what's quietly crushing and dishonoring my potential? you need to protect a few disciplines, a few standards, a few non-negotiables, a few commitments you keep even when nobody's watching, no matter what. Becoming who you're meant to be is mostly about refusing to keep becoming who you are not. So if you feel restless, that's good. It's not shame. It's not a bad thing. That's recognition. It's the part of you that remembers what you were entrusted with. Being made in the image of God doesn't excuse who you've become. It explains why you know you can do better. And knowing you can do better isn't a burden. It's an opportunity. More specifically, it's an invitation to do your part by doing your best. It's obviously what we're constantly talking about. Understanding what your meaningful few are. That's what this is all about. So I invite you to continue this exploration because it's all the work. That is the work. It's getting to know, getting to reappreciate and figure out why it is that you're restless and starting to move towards honoring the gift that we've all been given. So I wrote a book. My newest book is called The Meaningful Few, Designing a Life That Actually Works. You can get that on Amazon. I'll link that in the notes. And then we have a bunch of additional resources, many of which are free, at mymeaningfulfew.com. I invite you to continue on your work, on your path, just with a little bit of help, some frameworks, step by step. You know, that's what I like to do. I don't just like to tell people to do something. I want to show them how to actually do it. And I'm really proud of the work that, frankly, I've done in the book and got a lot of help. But check it out. And please continue to do your part by doing your best.